You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I am out of business. After 40 years of hard work, my entire life is now destroyed. These words of anger and anguish were spoken by a West Coast gem dealer who had been robbed in broad daylight of his $2 million collection of emeralds, rubies, cat eyes, and star sapphires. This broken man did not have the strength to go on. For 4 decades he had labored, scraped, and saved. And now it was all over. For him, it was useless even to go on living. For years, this man feared robbery. He knew that the worst might happen any time. He lived in fear of that terrible day. He said that he had tried to get insurance, but that he was unable. This man is not alone. The subconscious fear of losing one's material possessions now lurks on every level of society, like a hungry lion stalking its prey. Homeowners repeatedly telephone their insurance brokers for reassurance that their house and the entire contents is fully covered for fire and theft. College graduates negotiating their first job offer are increasingly demanding guarantees of retirement benefits. These young people live in fear that they too may end up as a pauper. Imagine at the age of 22 living with the fear that upon retirement, one might be forced to live out one's life in some dingy and smelly, run-down dwelling. Even children today live in constant fear. School children openly discuss with classmates their greatest horror, that their parents might divorce, leaving them torn between two people they dearly love, and also facing the future of great uncertainty regarding where they will attend high school, and the hope that they will be able to attend college then often becomes only a remote possibility. And for this reason, and due to the urgency of the hour, let us hear once again the promise of God's unchanging word that you and I need not be daily tormented by these fears and concerns. All followers of the Lord Jesus Christ can march forward into the future with total and complete confidence. For even if the worst should come upon us, even if the little kingdoms of power and money we try to build are destroyed, we shall still have a reason to live and also a reason to rejoice. For as the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews states, in Jesus Christ we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. These bedrock words of divine encouragement, given to all believers as a solid foundation of faith and hope, echo the words of Jesus in another situation, as our Savior himself fearlessly faced his interrogator. Jesus was on trial. His enemies were trying unsuccessfully to accuse him. As Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor in charge of the trial, continued to force the issue, asking Jesus what he had done and what civil laws he had broken and why his enemies had colluded to kill him, Jesus simply responded by saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." So do whatever you want, Jesus told Pilate, but whatever you do, know one thing for sure, that even if you condemn me to death, I and my kingdom shall live on forever and forever. The innocent Savior's bloody crucifixion was certainly near, but Jesus, our Savior, did not fear. His kingdom, the eternal kingdom, the one which shall continue even when heaven and earth shall pass away, this almighty kingdom shall never be shaken. And the good news for all of you who are listening today is this: every man, woman, or child who places his or her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, these blessed followers of the world's only Redeemer, they become members, yes, citizens of this eternal and unshakable kingdom. This is the lasting joy, yes, the eternal hope that you and I need today, the one St. Paul was talking about when he wrote to the troubled congregation in Colossae, saying, "Oh, we give thanks to our God and Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. For God delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has now transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ guarantees you and me a clear conscience, a conscience washed totally clean from the guilt of our past mistakes and failures. And this same God-given faith then establishes an unshakable hope, a solid foundation for life at a time when institutions waver and shift, and even some of our most treasured human possessions begin to falter and to fail. For example, the underpinnings of man-devised retirement insurance and pension funds are now more and more being called into question. Newsweek magazine reported that a staggering 1,345 pension funds have failed. One cannot even begin to imagine the terror that this news has ruthlessly injected into the minds of millions of the soon-to-be-retired. The federal government, of course, often steps in and rescues the innocent victims. However, the same Newsweek article further warns that unless something is done, this federal government backup program will also run out of funds in 15 years. Oh, it is no surprise, then, that even today, retirees, after having worked faithfully, and often without most modern conveniences that we have today, these vulnerable senior citizens toss in their beds and often wander up and down the halls of rest homes, wondering, yes, worrying as to who will look after them when their savings are depleted and when government funds are no longer available. Indeed, we may scoff and laugh at such a possibility. But there are, my friends, individuals living at this hour, previous citizens of other nations, especially in Europe, who can vividly recall when their own economy went belly up or bankrupt. Oh, in those days, people certainly did have money, but their money was absolutely worthless. One well-known cartoon depicts the sad situation of one of these broken nations. It shows a man pushing a wheelbarrow completely filled with paper money. He was pushing it to the store in order to purchase one loaf of bread. Oh, yes, you and I might find such things humorous, and we may say that this could never happen here. History, however, without flinching, speaks loudly to our deafened ears, saying, it not only could happen, but it most likely will. Indeed, today, we all too often remain smug and indifferent. We rely upon the resilience of man to save us. We place our complete trust in technology. When health problems break upon us, prayer is often overlooked, and wonder drugs are immediately sought. And as a result, faith in God recedes so far back into our life that our relationship to God often becomes little more than a religious ornament. Oh, my friend, the true realization of our condition must therefore bring us, every one of us, to a point of radical re-evaluation of our lives. And so it is now time for what the Bible describes as sincere repentance. This is not a man-devised suggestion for life. Repentance is required by God of you and me. Repentance without which we can never be part of his kingdom, a kingdom which can never be shaken. God is asking you and me not to merely feel badly about having placed our hope in ourselves and our technology and our medicines. No, God is asking each one of us to repent. This means not only to adjust our thinking, but repentance means to completely change our entire attitude. And so, my friend, giving up our vain dependence on what man can do, let us return to a more godly attitude, one often expressed by our parents and grandparents and other saints who have traveled the road of life ahead of us. For example, prayers spoken centuries ago and still available in prayer books and hymnals, these urgent petitions made to God in days preceding miracle drugs for healing and before CAT scans, these sincere prayers of the sanctified and the godly often reflected a much greater understanding that our true and only help in life and death lies alone in God and not in man. These prayers reflect the biblical realization that the kingdom of God is the only lasting kingdom. All other man-made kingdoms eventually crumble and fall. And so, my friends, let us listen carefully as generations ago clergy and laity included the following urgent petitions in their fervent prayer to the Almighty God. They prayed, "Be thou the protector and defender of thy people in all time of tribulation and danger. Graciously defend us from all calamities by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity in famine. Be thou the God and Father of the widow and the fatherless children, the helpless, the sick and the needy, the comforter of the forsaken in distress." And then they continued to pray, "And as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work which thou hast given us to do while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." And finally they concluded their prayer, "And when our last hour shall come, support us in thy power, and receive us into thine everlasting kingdom, through Jesus Christ thy Son, our Lord." Oh yes, the moving words of this inspiring prayer, reflecting total trust in God, instead of reliance upon mortal man, was authored many, many centuries ago. There is reason that these prayers reflected much more of a dependency on God than we often express today. You see, this was before World War II. This was before the advent of miracle drugs such as penicillin and other antibiotics. These petitions to the God of mercy, the God of everlasting help and eternal hope, these petitions were urgent, heart-rending prayers spoken in churches, attended by loving mothers, many who lived with the constant fear of the iron lung, the only medical device then available to helpless children suddenly stricken with the killer polio. Therefore, as you and I contemplate the endless number of blessings showered upon our society during the past one half century, all the while rejoicing that through these technological advancements, God has made our life become less burdensome, let us also at the same time never forget that our Heavenly Father is the author of the greatest blessing of all, a solid faith and a hope which shall never shift, and an eternal membership in a kingdom which can never be shaken. And so then, my friends, as we rise from our beds every morning, and as we struggle to face a challenge of each new day, may we ponder aloud how the sanctified saints of a century ago made it through even greater difficulties in life than we today face. And all the while, they reflected a hope, vibrating within their hearts and a smile on their face. Oh, these people not only faced severe physical rigors unknown to many of us today, but they actually prospered because even as they faced obstacles 100 times greater than any of us do today, in their hearts they possessed a kingdom which could not be shaken. These pioneers of faith had roots of religion that sank deep into the changeless promises of the Almighty God. Therefore, as you in sincere repentance now willingly intend, with the help of God, to reestablish your entire life and hope upon Jesus Christ and the kingdom which cannot be shaken, reject then also all temptations to embrace the attitude arrogantly spoken by a young housewife, an attitude which she expressed in an interview in the Detroit Free Press. When interviewed, this young mother said that religion should not enter into questions regarding family matters. Instead of echoing this self-centered attitude about life, all those of you who are now young fathers and mothers, go ahead and do just the opposite. Do it in faith. And do it in boldness, and make faith in the Lord Jesus Christ the absolute cornerstone and a most indispensable element of your home and your marriage. The kingdom of men will always eventually fail, but the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon which you can now build your marriage and home, shall never be shaken. Yes, you and every member of your family need to be members of that eternal kingdom. The question of how one becomes part of this kingdom fascinated and frustrated those who had heard Jesus teach. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, we read that the Pharisees were questioning Jesus as to when the kingdom would come. You see, They expected a man of vast political power to ride into their country with great pomp and pageantry. But Jesus rejected their dreams when he said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed." Nor, he said, will they say, "Look, here it is," or "There it is." For behold, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Citizenship in the kingdom of God, that kingdom which Jesus described, can never be purchased, and membership is never a result of one's geographical location. The kingdom of God is not to be compared with geographically limited kingdoms of men, as we know them today. The kingdom of God has neither boundary nor border. The kingdom of God is present wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. And when we are one with Jesus Christ by faith, you and I are members of His unshakable and eternal kingdom. And so to be members of the kingdom of God, you and I need to have Jesus Christ living within us. This is all possible through faith. This all takes place when the Word of God, the seed of faith, is planted deeply within our hearts. This Word, this seed, is alive. And this Word, the power of God, establishes within us a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Therefore, my friend, become today a member of the body of Christ and a citizen of His glorious kingdom, a kingdom which shall never pass away. And membership in this kingdom shall remove all your present fears of losing your worldly possessions. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you shall be blessed with courage and conviction instead of phobia and fear. Evidence of this promise is reflected in the great hymn of the Reformation, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." The great reformer Martin Luther faced bitter enemies on his right and fearful foes on his left. Nevertheless, Luther was enabled by a God-given and a solid faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to reflect his absolute confidence in that kingdom which cannot be shaken when he wrote, "And take thee our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won, the kingdom ours remaineth." May the words of this powerful hymn, yes, may this confession be yours today. Take they your life, goods, your fame, your child, and your wife. Let these all be gone, and yet they have nothing won, because the kingdom which is yours by faith, this kingdom yet remaineth. O Lord our God, may this be true in the lives of all those who are listening at this hour. Amen.